I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Wow.
Guys, things are fucking happening.
I walked in this morning, or just now, this afternoon, and it took my breath away.
I've done the unthinkable.
Thanks to Ms. Shane Halls, leader of the pack, we have now been legitimized.
Mic stands are in play.
We are speaking into mic stands. I feel like I'm in a bona fide studio. I'm in fucking Abbey Road, Dole.
Dole, we've crossed the street into Abbey Road. We're in the stew, love.
We're in the stew. We're at BBC Studios. Recording all from live from the, what is his name? Zane, whatever, BBC, Apple Music, Beats by Zane.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a lot to really unpack and get into because you might just have a hard time with audio engineering and getting people's levels. It's not my specialty, and I accept that about myself, and we all have our limitations.
But... This is great. This is like, I feel really... It feels very, call her daddy.
I know. That's like an inspiration for me is when I see the girlies in a big chair with their like professional mic stands. I'm like, I need to be that bitch too.
You did it.
I love a handheld, but there's a lot of drift. And then, I mean, the acoustics of this room, don't get me started. It's a whole thing.
It's very, dare I say, it's very Dale of you. Very Dale. Bringing in the, you know, setting up, being sort of behind the scenes tech.
No, like I'm a roadie.
You're
I was
like
I'm the fucking roadie of this podcast.
You are like the tour manager, and you're like bringing it. You're bringing in the equipment, the tech person. You're behind the scenes.
Doll, I'm making it all happen.
You are.
I'm like, this like, podcast is literally an independent endeavor. Love, this is rockstar. This is like. The producer.
You're Laurie Metcalf and Hacks.
Honestly, I am. When I got these and set them up, I was so excited to wrap a mic cord around a stand and like get in the right place. I was like,
you sleep standing up.
Work, yeah.
You sleep in jeans.
I piss standing up.
You piss at the urinal with you arch your hips forward and you just kind of you arms at your side and you're
I
like,
just
hell yeah.
Point. Yeah. Aim and let it go.
Have you ever pissed standing up?
No. That would be pee running down my
leg. Know.
You don't know.
No, I know, but like just to try it.
There is something that was on my Amazon wish list for a while, which is like a girly cone or something. It has like a very strange name, but it's so you can pee standing up, and it's like a cone that you put over your vagina.
It's like a strap-on for peeing.
It's just a cone.
It's a beer bong for your
kind of, but
piss.
Not that long, but right. Enough to get it where you would ideally pee into the cone. It would funnel it out, and then you're just squirting.
Love that.
I'm like, that's rad. I want that. It would be good for like any sort of festivals or anything.
Yeah.
Where
you don't
any
wanna put...
camping or anything where a guy can like walk over to a tree and just like urinate.
Yeah.
It's like. Dehumanizing to have to take off your pants, be pretty much naked from waist to ankle, and then squat, splash on yourself. Like it would be, it would be good. I thought
it's also like if you're at some kind of hayride or a festival and you have to venture into a porta potty,
especially if you're at a hayride. My God,
you, I mean, I, you know,
You don't want to sit down in a porta potty.
No.
So it's just, and it's good. It's kind of like good on Amazon in a way for supporting flexible gender.
Well, I think moments. Amazon will sell anything.
No, I'm making a joke about Amazon being an ally.
Amazon's like, if you're buying it, we're selling it.
Yeah, we're selling it.
Yeah, I think they would sell just about anything.
My mom...
They'd sell, like, someone's teeth.
Oh,
if they
yeah.
could make a buck.
They will. My mom told me recently, I don't know where my mom gets some of her news, but she was like, well, Jeff Bezos was apparently playing with himself on the end of a yacht. I was like, what?
When Bob Daddy Bezos was going to town with the self-stimulation?
Or like, grabbing his, I don't know, I guess he was on some yacht recently. I don't know.
Adjusting himself?
I think she was adjusting, but my mom made it seem like he was being like...
I would think your mom would be into Bob Daddy B.
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't think my mom's a fan of like anyone who has that much power.
Interesting. Interesting twist.
She has her limits.
Okay. I respect that.
My mom is a, you know, she's sus. She's sus of powerful men.
Mm-hmm. As she should be.
But yeah, she was like, oh, he's gross, that man.
Wow.
I was like, damn, mom.
I'm loving learning this, like, Dorothy mom, hot take.
My mom is a, you know, she was in her pro-choice club at her... all girls Catholic college. She was like in the pro-choice league or whatever. Like she was, my mom has been a radical before.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's going on?
Elon just bought Twitter. It's official. He now owns Twitter.
Cool. Are you going to stay on?
Yeah. I mean, what? It's like people being like, I'm leaving. It's like, it's, you know, old boss meet new boss. Do you think Jack Dorsey was good?
Did he like have to buy Twitter? Is that the thing? If you say like, I'm going to buy this company and then you try. I'm like so confused by that. And no one ever issued just like an explanation for why he was then forced to buy something.
I know. I feel like the media, like tech media, like they just assume we know what's going on. It's I need to be literally spoon-fed this information because I have no idea what the fuck you're saying.
No.
Please just tell me it in the most basic layman's terms. He's showing us his booty. He turned his back to Mango.
He turned his back to you both.
He's like, I can't look at
you.
I guess...
We'll circle back to this, but just while it's in the top of my head, I'm... have an appointment in 2 weeks with a pet psychic and I'm so fucking excited.
Oh.
My nail lady, she conversed with this psychic about her cat and she told me like everything and I was like, give me this person's number. Like I'm making an appointment and if it goes well, I'm literally getting every single person in my life for Christmas an appointment with this pet psychic.
Where and are they located?
I don't know. She like talks to you, gets like the info about your pet and then you send her a picture. She communicates with the pet through the picture and then she tells you about like what they talked about, but like she fucking is communicating. Also, she has like a full-blown day job, so she's doing this as a side hustle. She's the real deal. My nail tech would not lie about this and she was really sus, like went into it sus, and then she was like, this woman knew things that she could not have known about me and my
like,
cat.
Because the cat was like watching, like when no one, like the cat had info.
She communicates. She's fucking communicating and telling you these things.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, but I'm worried because I don't want Tony to be like, I hate it when you record at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This body language is giving.
Fugue.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see. I'm open to working it out.
I mean, it'd be amazing if dogs and cats like do have like complicated thoughts, but also
they do. According to this woman, like they have favorite things and they have things that they don't like and like things that really bother them.
I think
she said, I guess according to Cherry, my nail tech, the pet psychic says some animals like talk and talk and talk to her and like tell her everything. And then some animals just like show her imagery. but it's, I'm truly just like, what the fuck? Like,
I want
I'm
Mango to just show.
Ready to go.
I want Mango to just like astral project. Like,
I think he's an image guy.
Why?
Just look at him. I think he's an image boy.
You like to.
I think he's.
You question
he
his
paints
intelligence.
A picture.
He's an extremely intelligent animal.
He's a soulful king.
He's very smart.
Yeah. I think I want to know, like, I imagine, I want to know what Tony's voice sounds like. I want to know if he's
one thing.
A talker. Yeah.
Yeah. I always imagine, like, does Mango have, like, a high pitch voice? Or is it, like, I feel
it's
like it's a high
say.
Pitch.
It could be.
He's my baby.
He's baby.
Mango has, like, or Tony probably has, like, a baritone.
Yeah. I wonder
Mom.
If it's, like, surprises.
Mama.
Yeah. I'm so excited, but I'll keep everyone posted, obviously. But back to the Twitter of it all.
I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's shitty. I mean, he's probably going to do some bad shit, but like, I think all those people are bad. Like, not one of them is.
Yeah.
We're not in good hands with any of them. So it's like, I'm kind of, when people were like, ugh, it's like, what? We want a good billionaire. We want a good 100 billionaire. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not going to find that. So it's like.
Well, I think Twitter in and of itself is like a stressful and dark place for the most part. So I don't foresee that getting any better or worse necessarily. It's just like, it's now just a tool that someone rich enough can use to like work seamlessly with all the other shit that they're doing.
It was like a flex. I think he just wanted to do it. I think he almost impulsively said he would and then like was like, oh shit, I actually have to do this. Because there was a lot of back and forth, I think. Like, he wasn't gonna go through with the whole sell, like the sale, and it was like $40 billion, and then.
But then you just have to do it. Then
I think he was like, what I think is he just kind of in an arrogant way was like, yeah, I'll buy Twitter, and then everyone was like, all right, and then he was like, sure, I'll do it, and then he had to get serious, and then he was like, oh wait, I don't actually want to spend $40 billion, and then they were like, you suck, and then he was like, well, now I have to do it, and now he did it.
Someone needs to write in and explain it, because I was just like, I don't get this, and like, therefore, I don't care. But I'm also not super on Twitter that much, so I have no skin in the game.
Week?
I did tweet this
week.
Oh,
I didn't know what it went.
Every once in a while, I like to come out of the blue. I'm like,
I
don't
know the context, but I liked it.
I don't know if I need to just make my Twitter private, and then I can like say whatever I want and not have to worry about getting like replies from rando people trying to be like, actually, like, that's my least favorite thing.
You could also do circle tweets.
Circle tweets, though, they're not like getting engagement, really. It's just like into the void in a way.
I engage on my circle tweets.
Really?
People, it's fun. It's like
they have a conversation with you.
It's almost like when you're playing 7-Up and everyone puts their heads down and then like a few people look up and they see each other. That's what it looks like.
They'll come out the gates with like a I see you.
Yeah, or they'll like reply and be like, fucking hate this person. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to figure it out. Or I could just continue to not and like live my life and be perfectly happy without it as like an element of my existence.
I think people have legit concern because he attracts like, it's like a spider web of like bad men that flock to Elon Musk,
mm-hmm.
like incel-y kind of men and people who are like really just like annoying. And I think they're hoping he's gonna like destroy the wokeness of Twitter, but I don't think anything's gonna change. So it's kind of whatever. It's like all those like really annoying people are hoping Elon will come in and just like own the libs. And then when he doesn't do that and it's just same as business as usual and it continues to be a screaming hell for everyone.
It wouldn't be in his best interest to do that because I'm pretty sure, like I read a thing this week that was like 90% of the content on Twitter is created by 10% of its users. And I think the Twitter business model runs on having like blue check people and people with big presences contributing all day because that's like the entertainment factor. So if he alienates those people and they get off, then it's like bad for business. So essentially it's just like, I own this thing. You work for Twitter.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I mean, anyone that's like, if you're working, like if you're on even Instagram influencers and stuff, like at the end of the day, you work for this social media company and you're part of the thing, like keeping it afloat or part of that, like.
But at least it's funny.
It's funny and you get something out of it. Like you, and you give people a lot of lols. So.
But I think you're right. I did read that. It's like they were breaking down like the, what qualifies as like a power user. And I was like, pfft. Child's play. I was like,
yeah, it's like all day, every day.
They were like, if you go on 7 days a week, tweet 3 to 4 times a day. I was like,
that's entry level.
I was like, bitch, that's like literally learning permit.
Yeah, that's like, not get on my nothing.
Level.
Yeah.
Get on the level of like the people who've been at it in the mines for 12 years.
It's now just stream of consciousness. Yeah. Like it's not even like you count the times. It's just like. It is just an extension of your brain and your ideas at this point.
I have noticed like people are saying the language of Twitter and like the way people are I'm like, I'm now getting to a place where like I don't know what the fuck people are talking about anymore. Like I'm seeing tweets, especially from like queer people and like gays and or just like people in like the who are like millennial or Gen Z, and I just don't know what we're talking about anymore. I'm like, it's like almost nonsensical now, which in a way is like, I guess that's art in some sense, but it's also like, now I think I've reached complete oversaturation because I don't know what the fuck anyone's talking about.
Well, I think everything is just niching more and more.
It's become niche without, sorry to interrupt you, it's become niche without intelligence behind it. It's like people are making
but people who are into whatever it is someone else is saying understand like what they mean and what they're talking about.
I don't know. It's like it's become so hyper specific, these references, that it's like people now I'm like, I don't even think you know what you're
like subtweeting or
no, just like people will just be like people will just tweet like wild that people it's crazy that people like they'll tweet something that's so banal.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, as if it's, does anyone else have this? Where you like get up every morning and like walk? It's like that kind of thing. And it's
yeah.
Like, and then it gets 100,000 retweets and people are like, holy shit. Like I've been saying this. And I'm just like, I don't know if like, I'm like, is this the deepest level
it's like
troll?
Kind of like a bit almost.
I think with some people it is, but some people it's earnest. But that the fact that I can't tell anymore means that like either I'm not as funny as I used to be or I'm old.
It's just a new level. It's a new level of Twitter unlocked.
But
where it's thing. Back almost to the beginning where you're like, good morning, everyone. Like, it used to be like, hey, Twitter, like every
like
day.
Kim Kardashian would be like, hey, guys.
Yeah. And now it's like, does anyone else like wake up and they and you like open your eyes? The fuck?
I hear you. I think it, some of it, I think you can tell when it's a bit and then people don't realize that and then they get mad at that person not knowing.
Or
it's
they're
a
like,
bit.
Yes.
Or they're like, it's just sincere. Like they're like,
I like sincere banality as like, just like that's where people's brains are at is fascinating to me. And I kind of have no choice but to stand.
Me too.
It's COVID brain cell loss at play.
It is. And it's also like, the craziest thing too is like Twitter prompts. And it's always the same. Every few months, someone tweets the same thing. Does anyone else think Nate from The Devil Wears Prada was actually the villain? And they'll tweet that like,
that's been really,
I'm like,
going
we fucking know
again.
This. We have set, we have made it, we have established this.
We've been through it.
And literally it's like, it feels actually like I'm in something's glitching. Cause I'm like, I feel like we all just talked about this and agreed on this 3 months ago and 6 months before that. And now people are doing it again.
But the nature of the internet and social media and like the news cycle is so
repetitive.
And it is just like everyone does this one thing and then you forget quickly and then it like happens again and then attracts like a new realm of people that are like, oh my God, yeah. And then like it just is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's There's why just, it's almost like it's like a brainless organism.
It is. There's this one user who his name is Eric Alper and he has like millions of followers and he just tweets. I feel like he has scheduled prompts where he'll just tweet to get engagement. He'll be like, what's the saddest celebrity death? And it's like every week and he's doing it and it's just like the same. And like people tweet their takes. Those people tweet their, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's asking the same questions every month. It's like the same question every month, different form. And it's just, you know, it works for him.
Yeah.
But it freaks me out.
You should start prompting people on Twitter.
Well, I've done like funny prompts, but also like, I feel like we're getting to a point where someday it'll just be like, is anyone else alive?
The answer is no.
No.
I'm really obsessed with TikTok diehard Swifties getting into
the
Bejeweled video and pointing out like,
what? I didn't watch any of the videos.
I watched Bejeweled. I don't know if
Bejeweled?
There's more.
Is that a
song?
Yeah,
that's a song.
I have to be honest. I only listened to the first half of the album.
Fucking fake ass bitch over here. I've listened to the album 19 times. Okay. I've watched the Bejeweled video. Every time I walk in the room and I run over who and I hear the whole place shimmer. You don't know that song? Too deep. But
every time I walk in the room,
I can hear the whole place shimmer. It's it's Taylor just strutting. It's her getting a chance to be like, I'm sad and I'm kind of a victim, but then I'm going to strut and remember how hot I am.
Does she have chunky bangs?
Oh, the chunky bangs are back. But the thing that the Swifties are on one about is like, they think that this is Taylor's coming out song. Like this, they think I thought.
Coming out as what?
A lesbian or bisexual. There's a girl on TikTok. My friend Elizabeth told me about this and sent me the video. Also, this is like, if you could imagine my like least favorite kind of person in the world, it's someone who's like earnestly fighting the good fight to like try and point out how Taylor Swift is actually queer and like being like, look at this, look at that. And like comparing.
That's kind of sick. It's like, that's not your business.
Well, also it's like, I don't think it's true. I think it's a reach. I think that these fans just decide that they want and yearn so badly for like lore and
folklore.
They love lore.
They love
and
Evermore.
So they're just trying to create like more lore.
Right.
And I'm obsessed with loving something so much. You're doing like fan fiction essentially, but just you're doing it in
that.
A really annoying way.
I mean, remember when everyone was convinced she and Karlie Kloss were.
That's what this is about. They're like, this song is about this woman. It's like, this song is about Karlie Kloss. Here's why. Taylor is queer. Like, look at this yellow. Yellow is a classic closeted color, like, that appears over and over. It's truly like.
Yellow?
I don't know. Yellow. I don't know the references.
People are making shit up.
She's like, look at her in this bejeweled corset, similar to the one Carly wore in this photo shoot. Like, they think that she's, and maybe she is, I don't know. But I'm also like, you could say this about anything. Like, I could make a video saying Taylor Swift, like, started ISIS and then find similarities to point out and give, like, a, some sort of analysis. And you can do this about anything, and that's kind of what I love about the internet and TikTok.
I do respect Swifties for being so radical,
but also I get tickled by it, but then inducted into a Swift psychosis now with the songs. And there is something that she does in her songs where they get in your head unlike any other artist I've ever experienced, and I would love it. I don't have the time nor the energy, but I need someone to do some sort of audio engineering, like, deep dive into, like, I think it's a way the music is arranged that it, like, earworms into your skull. It's like suggestive. It's like some sort of suggestive technology or something.
It's like mesmerism.
It's something.
Well, it's kind of like in Josie and the Pussycats, how there's, like, subliminal messages and all the music. Like, there's, there is something. She's kind of a Pied Piper type.
It's Pied Pipering me.
And she's been like that since the get-go. She has an uncanny ability, I think, just to, like, churn out earworms.
And I think they're all maybe follow the same pattern to they some do. Extent.
Like, it's like you know,
it's like, it's very her, but I'm also like, there's some sort of composer thing. Satan. Taylor Swift is Lydia Tarr.
Satan. She made a deal with Satan back in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania.
I mean, we'll see.
No, it's literally, you remember that Savage Garden song? Every time I walk, I'm in a ba da ba ba ba.
Yeah.
Chicka cherry cola. That's kind of her. Like, she's sort of adapted. It's like that really quick, like, ooh, I want you.
It's like fast, but then slow.
Every time I walk into my eyes, and you know?
Yeah. There's some sort of witchcraft involved.
Yeah, but I love it.
I love it too.
And I'll get through the album eventually.
I mean, I implore you to listen because there's some bangers on it. I'm still
anti-hero.
Really thrown by her aesthetics and her, like, looks.
She had a video
I love that she loves it for her, and that she's always ready to just, like, have a strut moment. She's the ultimate strut.
She had a video with, like, a stacked cast, right? It was like John Early, Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz.
Was John Early in it?
I think he was in the anti-hero video.
Oh, I haven't watched that one.
She's got good taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, her, but her, I mean, yeah.
It's just a fascinating.
She's looks. When I see Taylor, I see looks. I'm also truly fascinated by her man, who's just booking. No one books more than Joe Alwyn. He's now in the new Yorgos movie.
Oh, cool.
With Emma Stone.
That's cool.
No, I know. But it's like, he's fascinating to me. He's like this stealthy working actor.
Yeah, I think it's cool that he's like pretty quiet. You don't hear from him much.
I did on the phone with him once.
Oh, yeah, because you interviewed him.
Yeah, he had a sexy voice.
I'm sure he did.
Anyways. Well, no, I will implore. I will implore myself to finish Midnight.
I need to watch all the rest of the videos. I only thought there was a Bejeweled out.
Walking down the street in Midnight. Isn't that her song Style?
Yeah.
I love that
she
song.
She loves Midnight. I hate that song, but that's just me. It's all just right. Not for me. But
I love that whole album.
Speaking of Midnights, I also implore everyone to listen to an extra special episode that I dropped at Midnight Tonight, which was Saving Sex in the City 3, a Halloween spectacular. And it was the first time I've done that podcast in a year. And it's truly, I was re-listening to it today and crying.
Who'd you do it with?
My friend Rob.
Nice. I'll have to listen.
It is a horror, unhinged horror fiesta. Absolutely bone-chilling, disgusting, bloody horror.
with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Is Che in it?
It's a Blumhouse. It's like if Sex and the City and Blumhouse, early Blumhouse, collaborated on a feature film.
Damn.
Che Diaz is not in it. None of the newbies are in it.
We had horror in the one we did, right?
Yeah. There's always, there's many episodes that go into like a horrific place, as they should. But this one is like...
ghastly.
This one is like a straight up horror movie.
All right, I'm going to listen.
Yeah. I urge everyone to fuck with it because it is...
horror.
It's just, it's my favorite thing that I do for absolutely no one's, not any personal financial gain. Listen, I do it for the love
art.
Of doing it and to give people something to laugh at. And I pay dearly to do it. And I'm 1000% fine with that.
It's your personal magnum opus.
It is my passion project. It gives me life. It gives me hope. It brings me so much joy. And like,
Lydia Tarr.
No, this is my like Lydia Tarr.
Before we get in really quick, you have to watch the Criterion Closet video of Cate Blanchett and Todd Field, who directed Tar. Mm-hmm. In the, you know, they have like actors go into the closet and they pick out movies. It's amazing.
Okay.
I just want to like, it makes you just want to sit there and just watch her like talk about movies and pick things out. Like,
yeah. I need to rewatch Tar because I was just not in the right headspace to tar it up the first time.
There's this one part where she's like, have you ever seen Man Escapes? Which is a movie about a man escaping. I was like,
tell me.
And I always forget
know.
She has an accent.
Australian, right?
I know, but like I just always, I know in my mind that she's Australian, but in my heart, I don't.
Yeah.
Because I
she's
don't.
She's one of the best to ever do it.
She's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of aliens.
Guys.
Finally, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to the Sex Unique
podcast,
Beverly Hell's Angels. Finally, the fucking finale of this very, I think, lackluster reunion.
No one wanted to get off their asses and work at this reunion, I'll tell you that much. Andy included, quite
Kathy
frankly.
Did. Okay, Kathy gave us a little camp. She did. As much as I'm like about Kathy, her driving away in the golf cart into the damp alleyway was pretty iconic and camp.
I'm about to go in fucking hard.
All right.
On a This I Know, So You Say moment.
All right.
With Ms. Hilton and say some truths that people aren't probably going to want to hear or be ready to hear, but things I know in my soul to be true. And we'll get there, but I just want to like prep everyone.
Damn.
That's I want to prep everyone for like what's about to come because you
Lara
what?
Screed.
What's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular.
That's like, you just gave the equivalent of me threatening to delete Facebook.
I'm not threatening anything. I'm just like telling people to buckle the fuck up.
It's going to be a bumpy fucking ride.
They're not ready. They're not ready.
Yeah, I give this whole reunion a C.
Yeah, I give it a C minus.
Maybe an F.
I don't give it an F because it happened.
I just said that because it was funny.
I give it a C minus. No one wanted to ask questions or press any issues. EJ Global honestly served.
She worked.
She fucking worked because this is now her job. It's actually, and I think that she should continue to be on the show.
Oh,
because
100%
she now has a vested interest in showing up to work. She has a financial stake. She has skin in the game. And she really won me over at the by the end of this reunion.
Remember when she coasted for a while? Because she was like...
For her entire tenure on the show.
And now she suddenly is the main character in a lot of ways.
And how is she like suddenly... She's like bigger than ever. And I don't mean that as a diss. I mean that like physically, her physical presence. She seems like she grew like 3 feet taller. Like she looks like... I guess I always thought of her as being more petite, and she's
like the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah,
like her Ozempic made her grow.
I don't think she's on an Ozempic journey. I think
they're
she's
all
like
on Ozempic,
Kyle, for sure.
I'm having like I have to be very radically honest. I'm having like, and I talked to you about it before this week. I'm having like a moment with my body dysmorphia, and seeing this just made me. I was like, fucking Ozempic, these women. All have this. It's like the spice.
No, it is.
I know. And Kyle is positively cinched. She is
cinched. Her on the Halloween Ends red carpet. Someone sent me that picture, and I literally was like, "Fucking, I'm gonna kill myself today."
Did you watch it yet?
No, I have no interest. Okay. I just like can't.
All right.
Maybe one day I will, as a joke, like get really stoned with someone fun and watch it. But like. I can't, like, put myself through that right now.
I mean, you can get stoned and I'll watch it with you.
Okay.
And I'll just be like, you're a lol source.
I have to watch it with someone that I can lol about it with, because I'm certainly not going to watch it alone.
I've now watched it twice and haven't finished it.
It's your favorite
movie. No, I literally have. I watched it once with Simon, then I watched it again last week, and I still haven't finished it. And I don't know if I ever will.
It's kind of nice to do that.
It's like, that was me with Ricky and the Flash.
I never finished that either.
I started watching it on the flight to when I was moving to LA. What a movie to watch.
I think I started it on a flight too, and I was just like, you know what, I'm good. Like,
yeah,
I
was
get
like,
it
I'm good,
and,
doll.
And you know what, I never need to know how this ends.
Yeah, I was like 45 minutes in, and they were like, we're now beginning our initial descent to Los Angeles, and I was like, well, you know what, we'll put a
not even a pin in that. It's like, that was nice. You're like, that was great.
Ricky and the Flash. Ricky
being like,
her
with her
hair
braids and her little boots.
She basically had dreads.
Yeah,
she looked like the fucking Battlefield Earth with John Travolta. That Scientology. She was what?
She was rockstar.
I know she was certainly serving rockstar, but she she looked like a literal pirate.
She was Johnny Depp, Mr. Depp.
She was Jack Sparrow.
She was Captain Jack Sparrow.
Anyway,
yeah, that was my exact reaction. It wasn't even like, I wasn't even mad. I was just like, that was so whatever. And like, I'm great now. I never have to revisit this movie.
I never
even have to think about it again. I'm left with like a sense of wonder. There are certain movies that you can just do that with where you're like, it was fine while it lasted.
I also had it with Cake.
That's another great movie to do that with.
Two movies starring Mamie Gummer.
Methinks a trend has been spotted.
But I tried watching Cake 5 times.
That's another one that's like, it's really neither here nor there.
I couldn't watch. I just couldn't do it. And that was like, Ricky the Flash was more of a benevolent parting with. Like, I parted ways with Rich. I walked off set with Ricky and the Flash.
Did you storm off set?
With Cake?
With Cake.
No, I was more just like, I felt Jennifer just made me too sad.
Yeah. I want
good
the listeners to weigh in and tell us, like, what are movies that you have just like watched some of? You don't turn it off out of anger, but
no.
You're just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, like, as I said, a benevolent part, like a sort of neutral parting.
Yeah.
Just kind of
like a never look back. Neutral part, you never wonder again like what happened,
but you wish them well.
Yeah, I would love to know. I'd like to get a list of these movies and then like look into what's the through line for all of them.
Ricky in the I'm now just thinking about I am literally shunked that they styled her like that in the movie. That is
someone
beyond.
Had a vendetta.
Someone
had an axe to grind.
She literally looked like Rumpelstiltskin in that movie. She wore little like
little boots. And
she looked like a half woman, half goat. Like, she looked like...
She was a pan.
Yeah.
She was a fawn or whatever.
She was a fawn. Her hooves stuffed into those little boots. Okay, so this...
She wore the same outfit the whole movie.
The same.
Okay,
well,
sorry.
I think she was, like, unhoused. She didn't have much to her name.
Ricky.
Bold Ricky. Wish her well. Don't know what happened. Don't care. But love her.
Ricky,
but also kind of don't care.
Was unhoused.
I think she was unhoused. She was. Memory serves, but you know what? I'll never look back. Then please don't crack me. I really don't care. Not even angry, not happy, just a true. I wish her well on her journey. Hope she works it out with her kids. And they house her. I don't know. Okay. Hope she buys a new pair of clothes. Okay. Sutton and Sanjeet's date is first on the list. Andy also said something that I was like, this is gross. He's like, they're looking for something. They're also looking for that D. And he's like, Sutton. And I was like,
yeah, this was piggish. I was like, why are you at, like, he's like, how many of you are writing cards?
Yeah, but I'm also like, okay, well, then let's have like a fun, flirty conversation about it. Like, you're gay and certainly are getting it in left and right.
Yeah.
So, like, that's one thing you and EJ can really hit it off about. Like, let's talk about it. But stud. And then instead, he's just like,
Yeah, Andy's so, like, he has a gift for asking the questions, but, like...
And then zoning out.
We could be... I want to know more about Andy.
I know. So, Sutton...
Genuinely, I'd like to hear the stories.
Everyone... I'm sure he says it in his book.
He does.
Yeah. Sutton gets attacked for her little kitty cat sweater, which she needed to be set straight. That's not a date look.
Sutton was a flop this reunion.
She really kept her mouth shut.
She apologized. I saw a video. I tried not to watch too many BravoCon videos, but I saw a panel where she said, sorry, thinking about Ricky. she said, I wanted to apologize to Garcelle for not standing up for her at the reunion.
Yeah, well, because you better fucking go to work next season.
Yeah, defend your fucking friends.
Or just say something. She said... two sentences.
I think she might have been on a little too much like Ativan or something to like calm her down, and I think she took too much and was sort of like,
yeah, what was going on?
She was having an outside of body moment. I think
she was astral projecting.
She was literally, she was floating above herself.
What if she was like tripping balls the entire time?
She might have been. What if she was like astral projecting and was like somewhere and like working for the government, like in like China, like spying?
She's like, astral projecting to like past lives.
Yeah,
where she did live as like a Chinese citizen in like a dynasty long, long ago. She was having like a Mulan moment.
Or what if she's employed by the CIA to like spy on Russia through astral projection?
Something was
and
happening.
In that moment, Sutton went. When you see her staring off, you know she's doing work.
Rinna
for the
walking
government.
In with that manila folder triggered her astral projection. She was like, a folder, a document, and then went fully into her CIA operative, like, alternate existence, and she was no longer at reunion.
At reunion?
Yeah.
Rinna, I'm sorry.
What the fuck was in that fucking folder, by the way?
Why even
show her with that folder, Bravo.
What a liar.
If you're, no, this is a Bravo thing. This isn't a Rinna thing. This is a Bravo, and this is a story editor and producer thing. Don't you dare show me a manila folder full of receipts and then never speak on it ever again.
It's truly weird, and I need to get this out now before
get
I...
Get it out.
Look.
This is the place
I'm just reiterating it. As we... And we put a... We set this little thing out to see this season that I kind of want to forget. I don't like either. I don't feel any way about really any of these women. Rinna and Kathy, I'm like, could take or leave both of them. I'm not team Rinna. I'm not team Kathy. But like, Kathy Hilton, I continue to be I continue to guffaw at the, and I, you know, I've heard from people, it's just, we're just happy someone's taking Rinna down. I'm like, I just do not believe that Kathy Hilton is this like sweet kooky aunt.
Absolutely
that everyone
not.
That everyone's painting her to be like, oh, Kathy, she's, people were like, Kathy is eviscerating people left. She's eviscerating EJ. And I was like,
here's my hot take on that.
Please look at the source. This person is not like a good person.
Here's my take on people that are riding hard for Ms. Hilton. After watching the reunion, if you're still in a place of like, look at her, fucking honest queen taking everyone down, you have mommy issues and you need to work through those, and you're not being honest about your own shit that's going on with your mom and your inability to like wow. have a mother figure also be a villain. But we'll get to that, because EJ reveals that she got some dick last night.
I got some last night. It's amazing to be when the man, when he stays hard for hours.
It's a relief.
It's a relief. And they all go, oh.
Rinna goes, okay.
Okay.
It's a relief to be hard.
To get hard, dick.
I love getting...
I have a roster. People are sitting on the bench. Other people are called in. And it's a relief when a hard pole plows me for hours. Oof.
When a hard cock enters me, I feel relieved. Everyone's like, wow, okay.
I thought that Andy would be like, yeah. Like, hell yeah, girl.
He was kind of like...
But he also, like, gives her a thing. I'm like,
He kind of went,
yeah, I'm over that. I'm sorry, but if someone said, like, that's the moment, not to be that bitch, but I'm like, this is a gay man's dream. Let's talk about the hard dick. Let's talk about low temper. And I don't like it when it's, like, someone's baited into being like, yeah, I'm having sex all the time. And their hard dicks are plowing my hole. And then you being like, They get into litigating EJ's addiction, EJ's booze hound ways, and her telling Jax to fuck off, which was incredibly rude.
And I forgot how shocking that moment was. Like, they played it again, and she goes, hey, what are you doing over here?
Oh, fuck off.
Go fuck off.
Go fuck yourself. I was like, damn. Just point blank saying that to someone's kid is, like, very out of control and rude. And, like, I agree with Garcelle. If she had said that to someone's kid, there would have been hell to pay.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't acknowledge that, like, and then Kyle's like, everyone knows that everyone Kyle, who knows me knows that I'm first and foremost a mom. And, like, that's not okay. And I'm like, in theory, it is kind of funny if someone gets so drunk, they, like, tell someone else's kid to fuck off.
But there are
with the, like,
deeper
racial tensions amongst this cast, it becomes another issue altogether.
Kyle, Garcelle, Andy's like, everyone was a little disturbed by you and Dorit, like, and Mauricio, like,
tackling
about it. And Mauricio going, I think it's great that she said that. But, like, and then Garcelle's like, yeah, why were you so tickled by that? And Kyle goes, I didn't think, looking back on it, Mo and I were mortified. We were mortified. It was just, she completely...
I love
she
taking it to
projecting.
Anyone who knows me knows I'm a mom. It's like, also like, okay, just like own what you said and that it was bad and like move on. I like Dorit's approach too, where she goes, when I saw it, I felt like I was punched in the stomach.
I was like, all right.
Garcelle goes,
shut up, Dorit.
So did you have an out-of-body experience or what happened? And she's like, no, but it was really hard for me. And then... it's like no one can just take an L when it comes to Garcelle and be like...
It's really...
Because I think they are so terrified of being called racists that they can't just be like, yeah, that was fucked up. Sorry. And like, we shouldn't have done that. And then just move on.
It makes me... I feel so annoyed for on like watching... I feel frustrated for Garcelle that she's in this position. Where it's like no one can just be real with her, and like she knows that, and she feels that, and she's just you can see in this reunion especially, I think she almost looked like,
well, it's hard.
It's
to...
hard for her to navigate this because no one wants to like actually face her or talk to her.
But the Bravo,
and it isolates her.
There's a Bravo element of it too, where it's like I think that
the fact that there's no loyalty to cast members, and it truly is like, if enough people on Reddit call you a racist, you're really at risk of being fired by Bravo. And in these types of situations, I don't think it was racist of Erica to say fuck off to Jax. Like, it was fucking rude and fucked up. But I think that these women are clearly afraid that if they like try and defend themselves or even like admit it or be like, even admit the honest truth, which is like, if Garcelle had done that to like Farrah or someone, one of Kyle's daughters, that would have been like a way bigger issue. And that's like okay to admit that. You know what I mean? Because that brings clarity to the situation. And then admitting it is the only way to move on and like clear the air and then like clear the dynamic in a way. And so they're being afraid to even admit that and then being paralyzed with fear over like the fact that they think that it's going to somehow be called racist to even just have a normal discussion and fight about someone's rude statement to someone's son is like a part of the bigger problem that I do believe that Bravo kind of set in motion by saying as a reactive thing to, I think, like the like racial reckoning of 2020, being like, we need to have more people of color on the show. And like, we want to have cast members that are having these like harder discussions. And like, that's what really needs to happen, instead of just being like, we're going to be fucking normal and like diversify our shows. And whatever happens can happen. They can talk about whatever, but we should just diversify and not make it like a mandate that these shows, which are meant to be like messy, fucked up people being entertaining messes and then like hashing it out later, have to be something else. It's like this like bastion of like social discourse and change.
Well, yeah, we've talked about this before. It does feel like Bravo does seem like they weren't thinking about these things until now.
But I honestly do feel
like Erica, whether she meant it or not, just flippantly, it did have a little bit of like racist tension. Cause like she wouldn't, I think the point is like, I don't think Erica would have said that to like Kyle or Dorit's kids. You know what I mean? And it felt there was a tinge of it, I think. And I think that's what Garcelle, I think that's what was like being picked up on. And I don't think Erica even meant it to be like that, but I do think like it kind of unconsciously, you know what I mean? I do feel like there was some kind of weird...
I think it's a bad look, but I don't think that it's like... I feel like if anyone was there at that time, she probably would have been like, fuck off.
There was something... I don't know. There was something... I don't know if Erica's racist, but there was something like strange about it being him. But that's just how I felt.
Yeah. EJ has been cleared for her trial.
Thank you.
She goes, let me get out my notes. I'll read them to you. And then read off like whatever the judge said. And apparently like Sutton texted her and was like, congrats, babe. And Sutton was like, pipes up for once. And she's like, I did. And I meant it. And I wouldn't have sent it if I didn't. And then she goes back into.
She goes, thank you.
Thank you. And that's the truth. And then they talk about the EJ stuff. And I honestly, like, I get where Erica's coming from with her. I get what her stance is and why that is her stance. I'm not saying I think it's right. And I understand the arguments of people being like, you're not showing enough empathy. But also it's like, that's more of a problem, I think, for... like, if she does not have that problem and does not feel the need to show empathy... And I was like texting with friend of the pod, Patrick Sandberg, about this. And we were like, he was like, I don't think that she knew what was going on. I think that she then is like blindsided by all this. I don't think she has a say in his like business dealings.
No, I think it was a little Blue Jasmine-y.
Yeah. And I think that her life has been destroyed. And it's like, if she doesn't want to show empathy, and like she's looking out for herself, that's her prerogative. And people's discomfort around her showing it or not showing it is more of their problem than it is her problem.
Yeah. I don't know. I, I'm I agree with that. I agree that I see. Here's, I guess I'm like, you know, Mary in the middle here, but like I agree with you, and I also agree that she should be showing more empathy.
I mean,
I guess I want my cake and eat it too, but I do think
if she's performatively, I respect that she doesn't do like a I really respect that. And like,
no, I guess what I'm saying is while I respect that and I kind of appreciate just being honestly selfish, because it's like she's being true to what her agenda is, which is herself, which I'm like, I do think that it is on a human level, it's a little shocking.
Yeah, but in that kind of position, she made an interesting point where they asked about like her house and does she miss like having lost all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I've never bitched once about like losing the house or losing a car, or losing this or losing that. And I was like, oh, she really hasn't. Like, it's kind of just like,
She bet she was like, look at my house, look where I have to live now.
I know,
I
but
have to
like,
clean my own, I have to clean my own
from like a
hut.
Like, she was basically calling her beautiful rental home in Hancock Park like a shanty.
I mean, going from...
But what I'm saying is, like,
I'm
she did...
I'm taking it into the... Just, like, her situation and her going through this situation where I think she's also a victim as well. Like, being blindsided and having all this shit come out and, like, losing her entire, like, livelihood, essentially. I understand where she's coming from and like how she's dealing with it, and I appreciate that she's being very true to own emotions and herself as she navigates this. Do I think it's right or wrong? I don't really give a shit. I just want to see like authentic behavior and honesty. And I do think that it's like more, if other people are uncomfortable, they need to unpack that. And like, for these women to be like, I'd give the earrings back. Like, sure, maybe you would. But like, again,
you don't know.
You don't fucking know what you would do until you have lost every single thing in your life.
Yeah.
And maybe that's all you have for to pay your legal bills or whatever. And then you can't really say that in theory. Like, yeah, take the fucking earrings. I don't want anything to do with this situation. Of course you'd be like, I'd give them back. But like, from a non-performative place, I'm like, fucking work.
She also does.
The show,
I think out of everyone this season, Erica has owned up. Like, she was pretty like, yeah, what I did to Garcelle's son was shitty.
Yeah, she's owning it and
she was like,
honest.
Yeah, I was a fucking mess. I was drinking too much. I was like numbing my pain. So like, in that way, I respect her, because like, Kyle cannot for the life of her apologize or like take any kind of ownership, and it's really fucking annoying.
Because I think Kyle takes it so personally, and
no,
is like,
I know.
She's racked with fear, which we'll get into the ins and outs of, because I think Kathy plays a huge part, and like her family and upbringing has played a huge part in that. But like,
I was triggered.
EJ is not a super emotional person in the first place, so like,
she is emotional though, and I do think like at the end of, and at one point Andy goes, you know, a lot of people have compared you to, I don't know if you know this, Ruth Madoff, and he goes, do you ever think about that? Or, and she goes,
nope.
I started dying because she goes,
no, you know what, no, I don't think about Ruth, I don't.
And I was like, for some reason, her being on a first name basis with Ruth, but I was like, and then she kind of starts crying and like, she very, you know, hard bitch, like taking her tissues. And but it like, that's got to be hard to hear
someone
just sort of flippantly being like, or not flippant, but just casually comparing you to Ruth Madoff. So it's like, it's, I think she's, as much as she frustrates me and as much as like, I've been horrified by her at times, by her behavior and like her callousness, I do find there's something like very endearing about the way she's just fucking owning up to her shit.
Yeah, and like, I'm,
she's a real
she's a real bitch, that
just,
one.
No,
and I love it. And
no, I don't know Ruth. I don't think about Ruth.
I don't think about Ruth. I think about me. I was like, okay, fair enough. I'm glad that you've stayed on TV and that you're stepping up to the plate and doing your job. And like, I might not act the way that she acts in that kind of situation, but that's because we're both different people. I'm down, and I was like, I respect you for just like owning it and not just trying to do. I think it's really shitty when I don't like personally when people are doing something just because they're worried about like what other people are going to think or like what other people's judgments are going to be. And I like that EJ Global doesn't do that.
She'll do that for us.
Yeah. Because like Kyle's very like, you can tell she's just like terrified of judgments. And like EJ's kind of not. And I'm like, that's dope.
But make way for Miss Velvet Heels herself. Ms. Kathy Hilton makes an appearance. She's getting ready in her dressing room with her team. She has a branding director named Carol. I was like,
Carol's chaotic.
Carol looked like Miss Frizzle.
I'm like that explains it. When Carol was shown,
she was like let's make sure you get the what was she telling her to plug? Some kind of brand. She said some high-end like designer. Anyway, Kathy's wearing like,
oh, like Oscar de la Renta or something.
They go, this is a very Barbie look. And she goes, you know, Paris really put that pink Barbie thing on the map. She goes, when she was a kid, she's basically taking credit for Paris in this moment. She's like, I threw her a Barbie birthday party until she was 35. And in my head, I'm like, well, that's not normal or healthy.
I would have loved that.
But also, like, no, but like, what's not normal is she's continuing to take credit, I think, for inventing
Paris. Well,
Kathy
wants... She wants it so badly, but she's terrible. But like, she's not built for fame. She should not be on the show because she will eventually bury herself. She does not have what it takes to be on it, though I pray that she continues to come back.
Me
too.
Because
we will watch as this woman completely unravels in front of our very eyes.
She also, you're so right, and like, Paris and even Kyle, like they do have what it takes. Kyle does have star power.
Yeah.
Kathy
and Kyle Paris
knows how to be famous.
These are people who have also been working since they were like
children
in Kyle's case, and Paris's case, like since she was like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
So she plays the Hollywood game and knows how to do all this. Kathy's a woman that's been coddled her entire life, has had everyone do everything for her, and does not understand how shit
works.
And I think that's why she got so much pushback when she's trying to like very inorganically and inauthentically promote her stupid tequila. When she's like, let's do this. And everyone's like, no, because
they all know how to play it.
Plays the fucking game, and you can't just waltz in here.
So true.
And just the entitlement and her not understanding that. If I were a cast member on that show, that would rub me the wrong way too.
You're right. It's kind of like play the game, you know, like we all do it the organic way, which is not organic at all, but like we all do it the housewife way.
Yeah.
And you have to play the game like everyone else. And
you can't pick and choose when you want to enter and then think you're also going to be as friend of allowed to like plug stuff and then get that kind of attention.
Until you have a diamond. I think that's sort of, they were like, you have to sort of earn that.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand that. And I think she's a strange person.
She's really strange. And I think she also,
like, more than anything to me, she's like bizarre.
I think she's a liar.
I think she is
lying. Absolute body language, her defensiveness.
She was sitting like this.
She was like this. I think her dress was also too tight to like really sit up and like engage properly. So she was like weirdly slanted, which I was like, all right, go off, I guess, if that's how you want to be. Like, she truly is not built for this world.
But she's not telling the truth.
No.
And you can come at me, you can say like, I do not believe
I think she's been coached on what to say, but she's so bad at being on the show, she can't even get that out in a realistic way. And every time she gets defensive, I'm like, this is a defense mechanism. You're lying, because I just know how people are. And like, if you ever in your life try and confront someone about something or that have a conversation and then they get immediately defensive and try and throw something that has nothing to do with the conversation in your face. They're deflecting from the actual issue because they know what you're saying has weight and they don't want to talk about it.
I believe Erica that she called. Okay, so we'll...
So they show the clip package of like Rinna being like, "Dull?
He's fine. Okay. He just snarfed. Come here, baby."
He's fine.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
They show the clip package of Rinna giving kind of the download on the horrible night, and Kathy like can't even watch that with like a without trying to interrupt. She goes, "You want to swear on your life on the Bible?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure she would do that." Like, I think Rinna is exaggerating 100%. Do I think she's traumatized, has PTSD,
no,
and feels abused? No, but I think it makes good TV, and I think she's a soap opera actress, so she's doing the soap thing, and I live for it.
And do I also think that Rinna did drive people away from the show? Absolutely. I think Rinna has been a terrorist on the show for the last 5 years.
Rinna's cutthroat, and she's also a worker. She's someone who has worked and worked and worked and then gotten here, and that's part of the gig. Of her gig. I'm, again, not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying,
she's
like,
doing her job. She's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
She's the villain.
Mm-hmm. And so then they get into like the origins of Kathy's anger, and they're like, "You seem to have lost it at the Kemosabe store when Rinna ordered the 818 tequila. It really set you off." And then she enters this like really bumbling explanation where she's like, I thought that the Kemosabe store, and Kyle poor girl, she goes, "It's Kemosabe," and she goes, Kemosabe, she goes, Kemosabe.
She's really,
and I was
plugging
like,
Kyle.
Kyle's heartbroken, and this I think was a big sister dig because she knows Kemosabe is Kyle's safe space and her favorite place in the world, and I think that this is what Kathy does. I was like, as a big sister who has pulled this shit with siblings, it takes one to know one, and I know what she was doing. And she was trying to cut Kyle down and make fun of her store. And I was like, "You're a cunt for that."
I get it.
You know what the fucking name is, Kathy.
I'm a younger sibling.
Did you clock that too?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Every younger who has an older knows that move. Kyle was hurt.
Okay, and this is something else that I see people being like, "Kyle's tears are so fake." I'm like, No.
Those were real.
That was a real codependent breakdown moment. Like, that was like, I was feeling like my Al-Anon was just like, I was like watching her. And they're undeniable. She was legitimately.
No, that was 100% real emotion.
She was having sort of a childlike reaction. She was a full baby in that moment.
She had a nervous break. Like,
she was like, okay, sorry to interrupt, but.
Then they go into, so Kathy said she thought that Kemosabe outing was meant to be a tequila tasting for her stupid fucking French tequila, which it wasn't.
Like, no,
it was not. It was an outing to go get cowboy hats and have a guy flame them. And like, it was a Kyle in Aspen moment because she's a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. You're a friend of. You're lucky that we even talk about your stupid tequila. So then I was like, okay, well, Kathy's psychotic if she thinks that's what the setup was. And then
bullshit.
Kyle brings up the point. She's like, every time, like, again, like, you think it's my fault that I didn't, you were mad that I didn't, what am I supposed to say to Rinna? Like, you can't order this thing. And then I saw what the dynamic is between them, how Kyle then gets the blame for everything. Kathy won't be honest about that on this reunion, but from the way Kyle's reacting, I can tell that that's true. And she knows that with every minute that passes by, Kathy gets angrier and angrier and angrier at Kyle. And Kyle knows she will pay for this, like, dearly. And she knows that. And she's not strong enough right now to be like, fuck you. Like, this is your problem, not my problem. And, like, I'm not going to allow you to do this to me anymore. But she's still in a place of feeling, like, terrified. And I felt for her because I'm like, I get it why you want this to be okay. But, like, I don't think until Kathy can own that she does do that to Kyle and decides to change that dynamic in their relationship, I don't think they're going to have true healing with each other.
No, and I think Kim does it to Kyle, too. I think
Kyle's the youngest, right?
She's the youngest. I think Kyle's, like, the scapegoat of the family.
Yeah.
And I think she's, I think in, like, the dysfunctional system, like, Kathy's the hero. Kim's the identified patient who's, like, everyone's worrying about. And mm-hmm. Kyle's the scapegoat. I think Kyle's the punching bag for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kyle's fucking annoying. And, like, she's irritating. But I felt really badly for her. And I was surprised to see people being like, she's so fake. Look at her trying to, you know,
people
get attention.
Wanna...
And it's like, no, she's having a, like, this is like almost like we should not be seeing this kind of moment.
Yeah, but I was living for it.
Oh, me too. But it was like, it was almost watching
it's
them.
Hereditary
in, like,
vibes.
But it was like watching them in family therapy together. And Kathy, when Kathy comforted Kyle and she put it, Kyle actually like.
Terrified at
she,
that
like,
moment.
She like recoiled a little.
Because that was performative comfort to come across as like a loving big sister on this reunion. And it was a threat. And it was not at all how she actually feels. And Kyle knows that.
And I think at the end, even Dorit being like, why are you like, what?
Dorit, I'm like, you're out
Dorit,
to lunch,
shut
girl.
Up.
Shut the fuck up. But I loved when Kyle was like, you don't need to weigh in right now. Like, just, I love you, but just don't even say a word.
But Kyle at the end is like, you can see her like she's scared because she knows what's coming.
Yeah. So then Andy's like, walk me through like what happened. Also, how I know Kathy's lying is she goes on this E! News podcast or a show or something. And she says, like, people thought I was, said I was melting down. That never happened. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then on the reunion, she admits like, oh, I did have a moment. And I'm like, when you backtrack in a story, you're a liar.
You're a liar.
Period. The end. That you are a fucking liar. So then she's like, apparently tried to pay the DJ to play her Michael Jackson song.
She goes, because that's what you do. You know, you do it. I don't know how they do it in Aspen. I'm not a member of this club. Which
again,
was, again,
defensive
a dig at Kyle,
and a dig.
But I've been coming here for 30 years, and I know that you can...
In the south of France.
Pay a request for the south of France and in Paris.
A flex of money to shut people up.
That was such a dig at Kyle to say, like, I'm not a member.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you fucking asshole.
And then EJ, this she
God bless
won
her.
Me back. She goes, so Kathy came up furious because the manager was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, go back to LA or whatever. And Kathy does not like being told no and not getting her way. So she goes up to Kyle and like grabs her and is like, we're fucking out of here. And Kyle was like, no, I'm having fun. Like, I'm live, laughing and loving in my favorite place. Like, don't talk to me like that. And then everyone could see that she's getting mad. And EJ was like, Kathy, what's wrong? Like, what's going on? And allegedly Kathy said, we're leaving because the DJ is an old fucking faggot. And Bravo investigated it, and it came down to just like EJ's the only one that heard her say that, and it was just Kathy and EJ in that moment. I fully believe EJ.
I
1000% believe it. I can see her hugely saying that.
Well, then, and then she goes, everyone who, and then she says something like, she goes, everyone who knows me knows I don't talk like that. One, I'm like, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that at all. Everyone who knows you probably knows you talk like that all the fucking time.
And she goes, and then Erica goes, everyone knows me knows I'm not, she goes, everyone who knows me knows I'm not lying. And then Kathy kind of, I thought this was a little funny.
I thought
but
this was shameful.
She goes, really? She goes, I think I have a little more credibility than you. She goes, I have a sterling record. I'm like, really,
a sterling
Kathy?
Record and reputation? Like, fuck
Kathy,
off.
You don't vote.
Kathy, you like, don't do anything. You don't do anything. This is the first job
you've ever
had. For her to come for EJ like that after she's been like very honest and like showing that, I was like, you're fucking shameful for that. And also, you did say it because you wouldn't be putting up this thing.
I believe
and you
it.
Would not be doing that to her if there was not some modicum of truth.
And then she turns to Kyle and she goes, Kyle, and then Kyle turns and she goes, and she's
and
so.
And the way Kyle was just not saying anything, because Kyle knows the truth, which is that this is how Kathy acts when she's mad. And she can't do anything except say, I support my sister. She's my sister, and I support her. But Kyle, if you notice, never once says she would never say anything.
Well, she
like
goes,
that.
Kathy goes, would I ever say, she goes, you believe me, right? And Kyle quietly goes, and she goes,
which wasn't a yes.
No, Kyle. It's so interesting the way she talks to Kyle. It's like she talks to her like she's a dog.
Yeah.
She's like, Kyle.
My favorite moment, and this is truly like, this is a woman who does not understand how the world works, has never existed in any sort of real world capacity outside of just having wealth and having everyone do everything for you. When Kathy goes, let's talk about that text message because I have my phone and it's not here.
And Lorena goes, really?
She goes, really?
Why wouldn't I have it on my phone? And in my head, I'm like, because you deleted it.
Yeah, EJ goes, you could have deleted it. I literally was like, no, not Kathy trying to be like, that text message doesn't exist because it's not on my phone. Like,
okay,
that's,
this is
how
this is so crazy
works.
To me. This is so crazy to me because I'm like, the people I respect are riding for Kathy's dick. And I'm just like,
absolutely
wait,
not.
What?
Absolutely
she is
not.
Really. I'm like, this is an imbecile. This is a, like, you are standing this person who's like, that's her big gotcha moment is, the text doesn't exist. I'm like,
look, I have my phone.
Because you
not
deleted
here.
It, you fucker.
I love EJ. Well, you could have deleted
it. I know, but I was just like, and this is how, like, I'm not even like,
she's
again, I'm not even
fucking
like a Rinna or EJ head, but I'm just like, they're, to me, somehow they're making this the most, especially Erica. Rinna
needs,
I don't
mean,
trust Rinna.
I also am like,
but
why are
Erica,
you
I like
why?
Weirdly trust her more than.
I absolutely trust
it's
her.
It's so great.
In this situation.
Well, you could have deleted it.
Well, you could have deleted it.
And then Rinna's like, why would I make this up?
Looks at her phone. She goes, it's here.
And then Kathy says, because your contract, she goes, baby. Your contract
this
is
another
up.
Flex.
And then Erica goes, and you hear Erica in the background going, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Here, though, is what I think is despicable. And I think Kathy doesn't pick up on this because she's too rich to understand how fucked up this is. But this is also something that I think a really wealthy, out-of-touch person would do and think is acceptable to do to another person in this situation is, like, laugh about their contract to them and try... Basically, the underlying message is, like, you need to work and you need a job, so you had to do all this. I don't need to do this, and you know that. And, like, I was like, you're wrong for that.
Again, I
wish that someone would say this, but I'm like, this woman is, I just hit my little dog. This woman's lying.
She is a liar. I really feel gaslit because I feel like the Kathy Hilton industrial complex has just taken hold and people being like, living for our queen, dragging EJ left and right, dragging Rinna. And I'm like, what? Like, are
you? Because they can't the truth is too horrifying for them to fully grasp.
Okay, honestly, if Kathy just owned, I would actually be like, kind of stan her. If she just like,
if she
was
said,
like,
yeah, I said yeah, that, and I was really mad.
It was bad of me. I shouldn't have said that. I would have been like, love my low-key homophobic queen.
I would have like, been like, she's an ally.
But like, I just like, it's taken a new, it's just like, it's like, be real with yourselves. Do you not think the
people
woman married to the heir of the Hilton Hotel, like, do you not think fucking someone who has Hilton as their last name might be... Paris was literally on a hot mic. Remember that video of her in the tab being like, ew, gay guys are so gross. They all have AIDS. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I watched all of the videos from the Paris Exposed era, and that was like on the kind side of the shit she was caught saying. And I think when you're saying that kind of stuff and using that language as a young adult,
you're learning,
you've learned
it
from somewhere, and you've grown up around people who are comfortable talking like that.
Yeah, you can't. And like, people always, and then people being like, and then like, obviously people, Paris is like iconic, but it's like, people are like, she's amazing, and I'm just like, okay,
we all really wanted to forget that era, which is fine. I get wanting to like leave the past in the past, but like, here's the deal is also, I think that people have delusions of their own grandeur where they see women like this on TV and they're like, I could be like that someday. So they want to like stan in order to, because they aspire to that kind of outlook and lifestyle.
Or they want to suck up to the oppressor.
Yeah.
They want to be friend. They want like the bully to like them. So they're like,
secretly, it's something that they can never admit, but it is. And it's also like the family dynamics on display and like the underlying shit that was going on was so fascinating. But I was like, this is really ugly. And like, I knew watching, I was like, people aren't ready to like really take in what's actually going on, because it is so dark. And I think it mirrors a lot of people's relationships in their own family. And that's hard to talk about.
And they said, so Kyle goes on to be like, this is really, she starts like heave crying, where she's like
she's freaking out because she knows all of this is true too.
And she says,
she knows it's true and she knows she's going to be punished for it. And she feels powerless about it.
She goes, all my life, I'm the one that gets blamed in my family. She goes, and this trickles down not only with my sisters, but it's with their kids who I love a lot. And like, it's painful for me. And Andy's like, yeah, you know, we've been seeing a lot, Paris liking a lot of tweets about, you know, anti-Kyle tweets. And then Kyle's like, yeah, and that's really fucking painful for me.
And he goes to Kathy, he goes, Farrah's or whoever is getting
Farrah, her Kyle's getting married, firstborn daughter.
Like,
who's close,
are you gonna go to the wedding? And Kathy goes, I'm very happy for her, which also was like, no, I like wouldn't say yes or no, and is holding all this stuff over Kyle's head. And I just wish, my hope for Kyle is that she can find some sort of peace and move away, because she's not like,
it's not,
there's nothing here for her to live in this state of like constant fear about knowing what a monster your sibling can be, but then never being able to be like honest about that, and never being able to be honest about being like, you're acting fucked up to me right now, and I can't say anything because like, this is our dynamic, but I really want that to change. It takes two people to have that. And like, I hope that she can like become empowered enough to like
move away from it.
Yeah, just move away from it or set like a boundary
sometimes,
and understand that it has like, she doesn't have to take that on anymore.
Sometimes the most powerful thing you can have is when you just realize a relationship you think you need to have, you don't.
Yeah.
And you can walk away from it
because she's choosing to engage in this relationship.
Yeah. And then you can choose not to engage, and it's, your life can be better.
Yeah. The thing to like Dorit, her being like, this is fucked, like I know how this is gonna go, and blah blah blah, and Dorit going, but you're gonna work through it, you're both gonna work through it. I'm like, Dorit, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, look at Kathy right now, she literally is like, it's like an evil presence that's like sucking the life out of Kyle.
She goes, oh, you're both gonna be better for it, just hang in there. And she's suddenly become like an old Irish, like Whitney Rose. Oh, you're both going to be better for it. Just hang in there. And then Kyle's like, can you fucking wait? And then she goes, well, we're all hanging on here waiting to move on from this.
We're giving you the space to figure it out. And it was like, they're not going to figure it out. Look at Kathy's body language. Like, she's so fake. It's actually terrifying. Like, Kathy, I was scared.
That was so mean about the Farrah thing.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm very happy for it's like, okay, your daughters and Paris and Farrah, I think, are like best friends. Like, that's very rude. Like, that's kids, I will say, like, just, and this is all like my like parasocial, the children, it seems like they've worked a way where they stay close, like the cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it seems like that from all my investigating of their social media. And that's again, so just social media, but like, we don't know what's really happening, but it seems like they're close.
Yeah.
So, like, that's so painful. Must be for Farrah to hear your aunt say, like, maybe.
Well, to make the kids pay for your own personal problems is another sign that you're immature and you don't know how to deal with actual issues emotions, and problems, yeah, and emotions.
So then Kyle, and then Kathy, like,
we're sisters, love you, and like forces Kyle to hug her in the most fake, like,
scary.
I was like, this woman, I don't trust a thing that comes out of her mouth. And this is actually terrified me.
She goes, we're sisters. Of course we'll work it.
Love you.
And then she kind of saunters away and she goes, all right, bye. And then she kind of saunters off and gets into a golf cart and rides off.
She goes, nightmare. And then gets in a golf. I was like, you're the devil. And I too have seen the devil. And its name is Kathy Hilton.
What if you were driving on like the 101 at night in the rain and you looked by and you saw Kathy in a golf cart going to the Universal City Hilton? What would you do?
Swerve into it, run it off.
Then it's like after that, it's like Kyle fugues. They do their cheers.
Kyle's
their toast to the season.
Unwell.
Rinna has said two words this whole episode. A lot of Rinna's.
We'll never know what was in the Manila. I love Rinna going, oh, really? Oh, really, Kathy? Because also Kathy tries to like throw Rinna under the bus. And I do something I respect about Rinna. She's like unthrowable under the bus. You can't get her. Her wheels are always spinning.
Has no shame.
She has no shame, and I like that.
She's renovation,
baby. She's all in. I told you I was radicalized.
They do a toast and Kyle just cannot handle it and goes to her dressing room, and it's like 5 minutes later.
I love Kyle being Andy going like, Doug, what are we going to do here? Kyle's a wreck. And then they like go through, he asks like softball questions to everyone. And then he goes, we're going to go do a toast of the Dorit drink. And Kyle goes, do I have to? And he goes, no, you don't.
Then they hug and it's like kind of weird.
Yeah, I was like, is this a hug? Like, I get it. Or a hug just like what is this hug?
And EJ goes,
thanks for the PTSD. And like, honestly, my fucking queen.
Yeah, EJ, like, was the dark horse.
You've done it. You've MVP. Done it. Keep but, EJ. Keep Rinna. Keep Kathy. Keep Kyle.
Keep them all.
Let's see it. Add Cherie. Give Cherie and Kathy
diamonds. I know Cherie. Oh, I know.
Honestly,
Cherie is gonna come in, and I know she.
You could cut Crystal and Sutton. I hate to say that, but you could demote them to friends of.
Ooh.
Sutton didn't earn the paycheck in this reunion. Crystal infuriates, but doesn't have enough. She doesn't have enough skin in the game. She's not piping up enough.
Garcelle has the power to be the lead housewife.
Everyone is so terrified of Garcelle. I think she should use that to her advantage.
I just love her.
But I'm also like, Garcelle, why are you team Kathy?
She's mad at Erica.
And she hates Rinna.
She hates Rinna. Which I'm like, honestly.
Which I get that.
I get. Garcelle.
But we need, yeah. I think Garcelle can rule
team,
with an iron fist of fear.
I think Garcelle team anyone. Like, Garcelle is, I think she felt catharsis when Kathy said that thing about EJ, which it was kind of like no one had said that to her. Like,
yeah.
You don't have credibility right now. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone was afraid to say that to EJ. And I think her saying it was sad. It was like kind of satisfying.
Only person that can say that where EJ won't flip out.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, was a really low blow and a deflection of the actual truth. And I don't have respect for a low blow deflection.
But it was fun to watch a little bit.
To me, I was like, when it's a low blow like that, where you're just truly trying to not take responsibility, I think it's a cheap shot and it takes the fun out of it.
And then Kathy got into a pumpkin and rode home.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Kathy got into a pumpkin and sat at the top of the hill. And then the producers said, "You ready? One, two,
bye-bye!"
three, and rolled her down the hill. And she rolled all the way back to Bel Air.
And then in Kyle's dressing room, Dorit's just like, "I look at you both like sisters." I'm like, Dorit,
shut up. I forgot Dorit was even there. I guess she could be around. I like the looks. She could be demoted too. I think let's like have everyone fight it out. Also, if Kathy says that she wouldn't, a huge tell that she's a liar is like she gave some interview to TMZ or someone that was like, "I won't come back if Rinna and EJ come back." And I was like, that's because they know your fucking number and you don't want to confront that.
I saw the video too. I was very disappointed in Faye Resnick.
I know. I was like, Faye, what the fuck? Why are you you're hanging out with
Kathy? She's chosen
right
Kathy.
Now? I hate that.
Faye.
The morally corrupt Faye Resnick strikes again.
So guys.
Guys, you're
we finally
you
done
XXL.
24 episodes.
I know. It feels good to be done.
It's great. It feels like we just finished like a thesis.
A doubleheader Wednesday night. Like into Thursday is tough, so I was reaching a breaking point, so I'm glad now we just have SLC.
Tickets for our January shows at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles are on sale right now, January 11th and January 18th. A mini residency. Come see both. Come to both. Go do it.
It's gonna be so fun.
Get ready to be shunked.
Yeah. We're gonna bring the shunk and all.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff.